You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It is now exactly 17 minutes after the hour of 7 p.m. Thank you so much for joining us. It is the 24th of April, 2024. It is a Wednesday. That means it is Entrepreneurship Wednesday right here on Business Sense. And today we're speaking to Elder Easy Mbinga. Of course, he'll be telling us a little bit about his business and some of the lessons that he has learned over the time that he's been an entrepreneur. And I hope that for those of you who are aspiring entrepreneurs can be, I suppose, comforted because it's a lonely journey, but maybe inspired by this. And he's already on the line. My Elder, good evening.
Hi, good evening, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much. And how are you?
By God's grace, we are still okay.
Ah, fantastic. How was the day?
The day was a bit hectic.
Okay.
So, days are never the same.
But, yes.
Today, hectic, yeah, but we survived. Here we are now.
I always ask my guests, especially who are entrepreneurs, there was money made today.
Oh, definitely.
Aye, definitely. Yes, yes, that's what you want to hear.
It wasn't a wasted day.
Fantastic, fantastic. Oh, that's definitely what you want to hear. And definitely, you know, encourages us as well that, yeah, money must be made, eh?
Definitely. I mean, that's the purpose for one to be in business.
Yeah, definitely.
So you don't want to lie. I mean, why? Or if you don't want to make money, why are you in business?
Why are you in
business?
You
are in business to make money. The only reason that you find yourself in business is to make money.
It's a simple.
That's all.
It's a simple equation, isn't it? Thank you so much, my Elder, for joining us. Really appreciate your time. We're looking at your business. It's called Libaking Tours. Am I correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
Fantastic.
Thank you for inviting us to come and talk to you and your listeners.
Thank you so much. Let's take it a little bit, you know, back. How are you and how do you describe yourself when people ask you? And I think a lot of us who know you, who have seen you, you know, in churches conducting, and some people that I know already on my WhatsApp line know you quite personally, you know. But when people ask you, who are you, how do you even respond to that, being such a well-known person?
Well, I'm, as you are saying, I'm Easy Mbinga, but I know a number of people don't know that Easy is from Israel.
Ah.
My name is Israel.
Okay.
So it's Easy, basically a nickname, you know, but that's the name that I'm known with.
Yes.
So, but it's Israel, and born and bred in Pretoria.
Yeah.
Well, attended Adventist schools.
Mm.
Yeah, born from entrepreneurial parents, you know, both my mother and my father. Yeah. I still live in Pretoria. Mm. I think that is in short. Yes.
Ah, fantastic. So you are a Benekant. You're still here in Pretoria.
I'm still here. I would not exchange it for anything.
It is the capital city after all, eh? So who would want to leave that? Libakeng Tours, what do you guys do?
We offer, you know, travel services, packages to tourists and obviously coming from outside and within.
Mm.
And probably maybe you may ask what the name Libakeng actually. Mm. These are two names for my children, the twin.
Okay.
Libakeng and Wundebogeng. So I just took a few letters from each and it does not have a meaning except to say these are my.
Mm, okay.
Going back to your question, like I say, we offer travel services.
Yeah.
We offer basically tours in and around South Africa and beyond the borders sometimes of South Africa. Yeah, we do offer tours. You know, we are registered tour guides with the tourist organizations in South Africa or tour organizations in South Africa.
Yeah.
So we are accredited tour guides in our country.
Ah, fantastic. Yeah. You mentioned there a little bit of outside of South Africa. How far do you go?
Well, it depends on the needs of our clients.
I mean,
if someone wants to go to Victoria Falls, we do organize. We have partners that we work with or within and outside. if someone wants to go to like Botswana, or if someone wants to go to Mozambique or Zimbabwe, we do, yeah, you know, though we are not specialists in that,
yeah,
our strength is in South Africa, but we don't, you know, in business, you can't just say, you reject any business that comes your way. You must find a way of doing it, even if you don't do it yourself, but you can get professionals who can do it on your behalf, and you get just a little, you know, share out of that.
Yeah. Fantastic. And when did the business start?
I started business in the year 2000 in June, end of June.
Okay.
But at that time, it was not Lebaking Events. It was, Itumeleng Agencies, which is my other name.
Okay.
And it was not transportation. It was in construction. But as things got tighter in construction, then we moved to tourism, I think just over 10 years ago now. Yeah, I mean, this company was registered in 2009. Yeah, 2009.
Oh, correct. Okay. That's fantastic. And how did you navigate the COVID years, particularly as a tourism company as well? Because we hear that it was a tough year for tourists. No tourists coming or going, no movement whatsoever. And I'm sure that might have dented your revenues and your projections and everything you had hoped to achieve in 2020.
That was the most difficult time and that we have experienced as a business. No, there was absolutely nothing happening, as you know. It affected us directly, you know, and it grounded us. It grounded us. We could not even move an inch. I mean, no tourists coming from outside. Places of interest were all closed and shut down. There was it was difficult. It was definitely difficult. So, you know, by God's grace, God will give you something to think about.
Yes.
And during that time, we diversified a bit.
Okay.
And when the borders were open, then we came back to our main business, which is tourism.
Ah, okay.
But that's how we survived, by diversifying.
Yeah.
But in as far as tourism was concerned, there was absolutely nothing that was happening.
And what would you say to aspiring entrepreneurs? I mean, I think you raise a very important point of knowing when to diversify to keep the business afloat. How important is that?
It is very, very important, because some of the businesses are seasonal, like tourism as well.
Yeah.
I mean, now we're going into winter.
Yeah.
It is no more lucrative. From next month or so, be a little bit quiet, because, you know, I mean, you find people coming from outside of South Africa not coming in. And it will start picking up again in September. So during this month, you actually have to think of other things that could bring you money.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I live on a bigger plot, and I diversified by going into, you know, farming. Doing poultry.
Yeah.
Because when the tourist or the tourism season is quiet.
Yeah.
Or the tourist season is quiet.
Yeah.
Then you can stay home, look after chickens, and get money. You know. Hence, I say diversifying is quite important in business. You can't just put your eggs in one basket.
Yes.
You know, though you may have the main business, which to us now, the main business is tourism.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have these little things that we do in case, quite, like I say, you know, this business is quite seasonal. You know, you start getting quiet now from May, June, July, getting quiet, September again, tourism month in South Africa. You know, there are packages and that are sold, and the people will be definitely coming in until December, January, February, March, April again.
Out of interest, people don't travel because it's cold, or are there any activities that are quite great to do during winter?
It's basically indoors.
Yeah.
But remember, people want to go outdoors. South Africa is a beautiful country, a sunny country. Want to go and see game. They want to go to Soweto. They want to go to Cape Town. And during those times, you know, it's very quiet. Mm. So it's only people who come and do indoor things, very few people.
Mm.
But mostly our tourism in South Africa, it's outdoor,
basically. Yeah.
It's outdoor, yeah. You have, I mean, we've got beautiful. I mean, if you take people to Mpumalanga, it's sightseeing.
Yep.
They have to go and do trails. They have to go outside and bask in the sun.
Mm.
People basically come here for our weather and the strength of our weather. The warm of our weather.
Mm.
So if it is cold, if it is cold, then you just have domestic tourists who don't, unfortunately, who spend much, but not in dollars. You know, you get good when you get these guys coming
in dollars.
Beyond our point.
Yeah, dollars are very good. They are very nice. And what would you say? I mean, there's so many tourist companies out there, you know, in the tourism sector. What makes Libakeng different?
My brother, you are correct.
Mm.
What makes Libakeng different is that we treat every single client as our first and last client.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. You know, we go definitely all out with the quality of our service.
Yeah.
We treat our customers as queens and kings, and our drivers, our tour guides, well qualified. You'll be surprised. At some point in time, we used to have a website, but I dropped the website.
Yeah.
And now we are focusing on you as a client.
Yeah.
You are our website.
Yeah.
Once we give you of ourselves, you will go back to your country, you'll go back to your family.
Mm.
When you think of tourism, you will think Libakeng.
Yes.
Because that's the best you can ever do. Yeah. That's quality service.
Ah.
That's what we apply. Yeah.
Fantastic. Talking about, you know, your first and last client, you treat each and everyone as your first and last client. Do you remember your first client?
Yo, that's a very good question. My first client actually. My first client was a company called ISS,
this
institution for, it's an institute. The name just escaped my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are our first clients. I'm talking about corporate clients in Pretoria.
Mm.
Yeah, but I would say my first clients were my kids, basically.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I used to take them to school, and that's how how the whole thing.
That's lovely. And how do you build customer base? Because they always say that you must have a business where there's customers, where there's a demand, and all that. How did you build from there? You know, with your first corporate client, then the next one, first individual or retail clients. How did you build the customer base from there? Do you get people who come back the second time, third time around, fourth time, maybe?
A word of mouth has been so powerful. Actually, our clients, look, I have clients who would have jobs beyond our countries.
Yes.
Find a government or a government department or client, a particular job in a different city like Cape Town.
Yeah.
They will take us with.
Yeah.
They will take us with to Cape and say, no, we prefer you guys. Or maybe in Durban, doing a job in Durban, having a congress or a conference in Durban. They would take us with from Pretoria to go and do the work.
Oh, wow.
Instead of doing it, you know, getting companies from Devon.
Yes.
So it's a word of mouth. It's a word of mouth. Yeah, I would say that's the best thing to do. Just give your last to your client, the best to your client.
Yeah.
So that when he goes out, he will not stop talking about the service that you shall have given them.
Mm-hmm. They are listening right now. And what would you say? Come to us as Libakeng.
Definitely, you will never be disappointed. You will definitely never be disappointed. Come to Libakeng. They will give you an experience of your lifetime.
And
you will get again.
Ah, fantastic. And talking about, you know, innovating, becoming relevant as a company, making sure that you stay ahead of the trends, how do you generate ideas, come up with ways to make these things better? Do you have like a little room where you pray or a little room where you look at the stars, you know, and kind of, you know, think about how do we get better from here?
We get better by that.
Yeah.
Remember, our strength is prayer, actually prayer and thanksgiving and obviously doing what's expected of us when the Lord has blessed us.
Yeah.
But the main thing the main important thing is that we listen to our clients. You know, they give us feedback, they will rate us, and we've got some little questionnaire that we give to our clients and say, probably maybe improve on this.
Yeah.
Or if you can get something, you know, a car like this and something, you know, for next time and all that. And we try to keep to that. So we listen to our clients and we try apply whatever that they suggest.
Listen to the clients, which is very, very important. Now,
tell me that my driver, if they tell me that my driver is driving very fast, you know, then I will tell my drivers that no, the guys are not happy with you. You are driving fast, or probably maybe you're not explaining things and taking them through, you know, sites that we see. You know, you don't give them more information. Please, can you try? Can I get someone? Can I get a tour guide with you? Right? We listen to our client. Listening to our client, that's the most important thing.
Yeah. What's like the biggest revenue generator for you within the sector? Is it game drives? Is it people doing sightseeing? Where do you see at least a little bit of a bigger demand and interest?
Well, look, the bigger demand, it's like your transfers as well.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
From the airport, you get people doing a conference, you take them to that one is quick because you just drop them and wait for them to go back, you know?
Yeah.
So you can generate cash quickly on that one.
Yeah.
But you have a bigger group and that comes for game driving, like going to Pilat Beg, two coaches or three coaches. It's an income, a beautiful income generator there because the big group. But on a day-to-day, what keeps you more, it's your transfers as
it's
well.
Your transfers, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that some people might not know, and we know as AWR, they might not know is that, of course, when the GC president comes, you are the only trusted driver or a company to take him around. What's that like?
Well, it's a privilege for us and an honor for us. We did it once for the GC president, and each time he comes, demands actually. That's driven by us and taken care of us. Because, like, you remember I told you that the word of mouth?
Yeah.
And when you do it for the first time with a client, do it like it's your last time. You will see that client. And it's that kind of personal touch that we have.
But
going to your question, it's a privilege. I mean, to take care of the number one citizen of the Seventh Day Adventist Church. Wife sometimes, because sometimes he travels with the wife.
Yes.
And make sure their security and, you know, and their safety is in our hands, is entrusted to us. It's a privilege. All I can say is it's a privilege. As much as it's work for us, but it's a privilege.
Indeed. I think as AWR, we were there when, he was here. So indeed, we can bear testament to the excellent service that I think your company provided to him as the GC president. So really, really, I have witnessed your work. So I can definitely attest to that, which is why I really love this conversation, because I was like, yes, you know, I'm speaking to someone that I have seen his work. So which is really interesting. What drives you as an entrepreneur?
Look, like I said, service and money, to make money. I cannot lie.
Repeat that last one. Repeat, please, that last one. To make money. Please.
Make money. I'm not in business to make friends.
Exactly. I'm in business to make
money. If I make friends in the process, that's good.
Yeah.
But when I wake up and go for my business, what is in my mind?
Money. Yes. I love that. So that's part of what's driving the I suppose the impetus within you as you wake up every morning and all that. And some people say that, you know, raising funds as an entrepreneur is always the most difficultest things to do. And how did you find it? Did you ever have to raise money?
Look, at some point in time, I tried institutions, tried bank, the red tape. You know, I can honestly and openly say it right now. We have never received any funding from any institutions.
Sure.
That not deter us from going out and making business.
Mm.
Uh, They said little is much when God is in it. Mm. So I'm getting spiritual now. I'm getting spiritual.
Yeah, I can see you're going there.
So I think God blesses hard work.
Yeah.
God blesses hard work. As I have said, we have never received any funding from any bank, even up to now. But you work hard with what you have. Mm. That's what the word of the Lord, God, I think it was Moses, when he asked him, what is it that you have in your hand? So if you have one car and you're determined to go into the business and, you work very hard and you trust the Lord and pray faithfully, the Lord will expand it. You will actually even be stronger and be more effective than people who have bigger fleets than you.
Yeah, yeah.
So we never got any funding.
Yeah.
And, but I would encourage young people now, with the government, more especially in South Africa, opening it up, avenues of financing and whatever. Maybe that's the route they can go. But God has been on our side, and we have never complained at all.
Fantastic. God blesses hard work. And we work very hard. Eh? We work really, really hard. And God does bless us for that one. I'm sure running a businessman, being an entrepreneur for such a very, very long time, I don't know if you've gotten into the ease of it in terms of its impact on your family. How are you finding that balance between work and family?
Look, in any business, you would need support from the family. And you need to be open and frank. When things are good, they must see it.
Yeah.
When things are bad, they must see it.
Yeah.
And, if you get your support from your children and your wife, you don't have to worry that much. It has an impact because sometimes you must be very, very, business is very rough on the other hand. I can tell you, right? You must be wise. Get legal advice, get financial advice as well, so that you know that properties that I have, how do I register them? The money that I have, how do I invest it?
Yeah.
So that it should not have an impact on your family, because such things have an impact.
Yeah,
I would quickly say, if like for instance, if I register, I'm married in community, or property with my wife, and if I go down, let's say business goes down and things are bad, if they go for me, they will definitely, it will affect my wife, and that's how it affects. So if you're not open about such things and get their support and discuss such legal things and financial things with your family, you go along, they don't get surprises at the least. But that you can get through advice, financial advice, or legal advice. It has a direct or indirect impact on the family, depending on how you involve them. Yes.
I think there's something you're saying, but you're not saying, and I'll say it on your behalf. I'll be your spokesperson for now.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
You said when business is good, the family must see it. In other words, take them on trips and nice stuff overseas. That's what you're saying, right?
Exactly.
Okay. See, I can be your spokesperson there. I've just applied for my job.
You can read my mind.
I've just applied for my job. You see, I'm diversifying here, my elder. Now, tell me, your typical day, what time do you wake up? What time do you go to bed? In between, do you have like running around and all this? So how crazy is your day as an entrepreneur?
My day is very hectic. On the business side, our day does not have time to start.
Yeah.
Last week I had clients who were leaving at 3 a.m.
Sure.
Actually, their flight was 4 a.m. So you have to pick them up at 3. And you can imagine, what time do I start? If that is the case. So you don't have like a structured day that I will wake up at 6 and do this. My day, and that's what is interesting about business. That's what's good about business.
Yeah.
Very unpredictable. So sometimes I wake up very early and have very long days. Sometimes it's very quiet.
Yeah.
I have my time. Stay at home, do my garden, check things at home for a day or two. And sometimes it gets hectic for almost 10 to 10 days or so with the project. So the days are not like structured. It depends on what you are doing and what projects you are doing or you're getting involved with.
Yeah. Any particular challenge that you can think of over the years and that sticks out, and how have you dealt with it? Because obviously there will be challenges along the road.
Yeah, obviously there has been challenges, and we thank God, like challenges that I had, that we were robbed so very many times.
Sure.
I think about 3 times.
Sure.
You know, we were followed from the airport. Once we were going to Magaliesburg.
Sure.
And, we've done and stuff like that. They took everything from our cars and they took everything from my clients. But thank God all lives were saved.
Sure.
So those are challenges, the risk that we get ourselves involved, because you don't know who's following you. You don't know who's in your car.
Yeah.
And you might be robbed, might be hijacked along the road.
Yeah.
People might be looking for stuff in, you know, the things that your passengers have. So those are the challenges, the safety, the risk factor into the whole thing. But like I said, we want to thank God, no one was hurt. Only things that were taken and people's properties and items that were taken. Those are the challenges. Except for that, my brother, no, I would still say, you know, God has been good.
God has been good. Yeah, love that. Love that positive attitude. God has been good. If you were to then go back, even as far as back the year 2000, and you start all over again, what would you do differently?
Look, if I had to go there again, I mean, backward, the year 2000, if I had to start this business, I would definitely invest in more people. You invest in people, teach people how to do things from the beginning before you make mistakes. You know, you go into the business with the right people, because you start by going with the wrong people and realize later that, no, man, I was not supposed to have
gone. Yeah.
And you would definitely, you know, get things right from the scratch, you know, get the relevant and good cars,
and
get the right people. I'm talking specifically about the business that I'm doing.
Ah, fantastic. And I'm going to be your spokesperson here again. The most satisfying moment, if you just take a glance back at the years you've been in business, what would you say is the most satisfying moment? And as your spokesperson, I'm going to tell them that it's when you signed that big paycheck.
No, my most satisfying moment.
Yeah.
My most satisfying moment, you know, I've got different clients, like City of Tshwane is my client, and our organization and other organizations, they are my clients.
Yeah.
By moment, it was when we were doing the Youth Congress in 2013 for, I think it was plus minus 4,000 delegates.
Sure.
And we did that without any challenge.
Yo.
No one missed their flight.
Yo.
When coming, you know, and no one missed their flight when going.
Sure.
So you can imagine. I mean, that's something that's a period I always look at myself. I've done big projects, but you can imagine. Guess that, you know, and at the end of the day, everyone goes home. Everyone goes home safe.
Yeah.
So far the highlight of I would not want to say the career, but of our business.
Yeah. Sure. Did you sleep during that time? If I heard you correctly,
nothing,
you said 4,000.
Yeah, no, we did not. We did not. Literally, I was speaking on the phone until my voice went out. With people asking this. I would just come home in the morning. The gospel truth. I'll just come in the morning just to shower and change clothes.
Yeah.
And go back to work. Yeah. You can imagine the logistics. You can imagine, you know, the fleet of cars that we were doing and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
So that is the most satisfying moment of my business and my career so far.
Yeah.
Do the big project without any answer.
Yeah, sure. Now you can see that I'm really pushing and applying for my job here as the spokesperson. so I have a prophecy that in the next 10 years we're gonna be talking to you at a bigger scale. You're doing bigger tours and all that. So where do you see the company in the medium to long term?
Well, in the medium term, obviously we see ourselves consolidating what we have right now. We are happy. Yeah, we're happy with what we're doing, and that's in the medium term. Just keep it that way. Yeah, you know, just maintain the relations that we have with our clients, and do exactly what we are doing. But long term, we are seeing ourselves as the biggest tourist company, or tourism company in South Africa, with a fleet of buses and that are written, branded our names all over.
Hey.
And at the back of the bus, probably maybe written, keep the Sabbath day holy.
Ah.
The verse.
Amen.
And our buses, probably maybe by then, guys, you guys will be having maybe your FM or medium wave or whatever.
Yes.
And our clients listening to your AWR inside.
Bona. There's no other way. I see. Wait, that's what I was saying. You see, I'm your spokesperson. I can see this partnership going somewhere. You know, that's exactly where we are going.
sure.
I love that.
On a serious note, we want to see ourselves having, and obviously, you know, having more fleet, and more especially getting into the bus business, you know, stuff like that. Yeah,
sure. That's lovely.
That's what we're
There are young people who are listening, want to get into business as well. Perhaps some of them look up to you as well from afar. They might not necessarily have the opportunity to come and speak to you. What would you say to them?
I'll tell them that, you know, one thing that pushed me to go into business when I started, I had the age, you know, on my side. But if I fail, I can start again. So, no, most of the people would say, working for yourself is not a secure thing. But remember, when you work for someone else, you are working on someone else's risk. He took a risk. Company where you are working right now, that person took a risk. You know, and you are comfortable yourself, but someone took a risk. And why don't you take your risk? When you're still young, I mean, with all the opportunities that we have, find yourself. Your mind, you work hard, the Lord will do the rest. So don't be afraid. You are business minded and you want to try it. I mean, this is the most pleasing thing. And the most, you know, I mean, working for yourself is the best thing that could ever happen to anyone. Let me tell you.
Sure. Lovely.
I'll encourage young people. Go for it.
Go for it. Definitely. How do people get in touch with you, or if they need your services?
Well, they can, like I said, we're having a website, but we change our strategy. Our website is not operational right now, but they can contact me directly. They can contact, we've got email, Leberking Tours at gmail.com. Or izimbinga@gmail.com And I can share my numbers as well with you guys. And you,
definitely. You know, as we end on this one, there's something I've always wanted to do, my Eld, and this is a thing that I feel like I would have arrived if that happens. You know, you say you do transfers. I always dream, my Eld, of one day someone with a placard at the airport, you know, saying Tapelo Boloi. You know, so I think I must contact you, because someone must hold for me that card. Just enjoy that card. After that, then we are done.
You are putting yourself in a big problem, because once we do that for you, you are stuck with us. You will not go anywhere.
Boy, that's what I'm saying. That's my dream. It's gonna happen. You know what I mean.
It's going to happen, my friend. It's going to happen.
Thank you, my elder. God bless you and wish you the best in business.
Thank you so kindly for the invite. God bless you as well, my brother.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Blessings to you. Bye. Bye.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. Jimmy Lee.